Good morning and welcome to you all, whether you're joining us from the comforts of your own home or here in the Christchurch building. It's a joy to be able to worship together. Today we continue with our series, Being Church in a COVID World. And this morning we're thinking about the church as the building of Christ. Let's begin with an opening prayer. Please join me with the words in yellow type. Loving God, we have come to worship. Help us to pray to you in faith, to sing your praise with gratitude, and to listen to your word with eagerness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being our cornerstone, our solid ground. Thank you that we stand strong in your love and your power. Please help us to build our lives on you. Amen. As we come to our confession, let's call to mind anything that we need to bring before God, knowing that in his love and his grace, he's ready to forgive us and restore us. As we say our confession together, please join me in the responses at the end of each section. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to have our Bible reading in a moment. Today is Bible Sunday, and we'd love to encourage you to think about that later in the day or the week. We can be thankful in our country for our easy access to the Bible. Lots of us probably have several versions in our homes, as well as access online. The Bible Society has information on their website about Bible Sunday with resources for us to look at. So, we'll have this morning's Bible reading now, read for us by John, and then Peter will come to speak to us.
This morning's reading is from the first letter of Paul to the people of Corinth, chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace of God given to me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple.
I'd forgotten it was Bible Sunday this Sunday. One of the things I really like about the Bible is the big themes and pictures in the Bible. You know, the ones that span the Old Testament centuries and come to fruition in the New Testament, but with a bit of a twist on them. And one such of those big stories is that of the temple. It's a theme that starts in Genesis as the patriarchs, people like Abraham and Jacob, set up altars and pillars at places where they've had significant meetings with God. The theme takes shape in the Exodus story in the form of a tabernacle, a sort of tent temple that the Israelites carried with them as they wandered the desert after fleeing from Egypt. It reaches a pinnacle in the reign of King Solomon, who builds the first permanent temple in Jerusalem. It's part of Israel's exile story as it is destroyed by the Babylonians and then rebuilt 70 or so years later by exiles returning to Jerusalem. There are detailed design descriptions, particularly of the tabernacle. There are accounts of the building and rebuilding, prophecies relating to a future temple, psalms of joy relating to the temple, and psalms of lament following its destruction. In short, it's a huge part of the story of Israel. It's a huge part of their life. For the Israelites, it's the place where God dwells on earth and where the people meet with their God. That was the essence of the temple. In the book of Exodus, when the tabernacle was first set up, we read, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now, 400 or 500 years later, when the first permanent temple was built, King Solomon finishes his prayer of dedication, and again we read, "Fire comes down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it." That was from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Wow, what events those were. Now, when we come to the New Testament, the Israelites are by now onto their second temple. Now, Jesus was deeply respectful of the temple and all that it represented. But at one point, debating with the Pharisees, he stated, "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here." The something greater that he was referring to is the kingdom of God and his role in bringing in that kingdom. Or possibly he's actually just referring to himself. But what is clear is that the idea of the physical temple as the center of the religious life of his people is beginning to be challenged. And when we come to the time when Peter and Paul were writing their letters to the churches, the idea of the temple takes on a whole different perspective. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" he writes to the Corinthians in the reading we've just heard. He says the same thing to the Ephesians, and Peter writes something very similar to some of the other churches in what is now Turkey. So no longer is the temple a building, but it's the people of God. What's some of the things that this might mean for us in these COVID times? Well, the good news is that we are not dependent on being in this building in order to be church. It is we here, and it is we here on the video who are the embodiment of Christ's church at Christ Church. And because, as God's temple, God's Spirit lives in us, I also believe that our fellowship transcends the limitations of these times. So whether you are here, or whether you're watching this on YouTube, or whether you're just reading the transcript of this sermon, we are still Christ's church. However, let's not pretend that all is just fine. These times are difficult, and we are having to work harder to function as a church. Peter calls us living stones, and living stones are laid next to one another, supporting one another and influencing the way we are built. And all that is harder to do remotely. Focusing on the passage we read a little bit more, Paul's picture of the church here is complicated, isn't it? Not only does he talk about the people as the building, but he also talks about people as the builders. Who is it that builds this edifice called the church? Of course, it is the goal of God himself. "I will build my church," said Jesus, "and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." But it is an enterprise that he chooses to share with human builders. Paul describes himself as a wise builder, and it is clear from the passage that other builders were at work in the Corinthian church, and not always with the best of results. Leaders and teachers no doubt have a major influence on the shape of a church community and the growth together of its members, but we all have a part to play, as the video illustrated. What does the building that Paul described look like? Firstly, it is built on Jesus Christ. He is its foundation. He is its cornerstone. If it isn't built on him, then it isn't church. We are more than just a community of people who care for one another. Secondly, it is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God showed himself in glory at the inauguration of the tabernacle and the temple, and no one could approach the buildings because of the manifestation of his presence. Those were truly awesome pictures. But we have something just as awesome. God himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is dwelling in us and amongst us. Thirdly, God's building is meant to be beautiful, precious, and permanent. When Jesus returns, the work of the church's human builders will be tested by fire, and only what is good will survive. Paul lists the building materials, doesn't he? There's gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and straw. And it's clear which of those are going to be burnt up in the fire. What do the gold, silver, and precious stones represent? Well, I believe they represent the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the outworking of the values of his kingdom. If we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, which we looked at a few weeks ago, if we are seeking to build on those values and building those habits into our lives, then I think it's fairly safe to say that we're building with gold, silver, and precious stones. On the other hand, what does the wood, hay, and straw represent? In the first part of the book of Corinthians, Paul is very concerned about factions that are growing up within the church in Corinth, and the church leaders are beginning to show jealousy and quarrelling with one another. I wonder what the would-be church builders of that time were teaching in order to spread those divisions. Well, we'll never know, but perhaps it has more to do with the immaturity, the wrong motivations, and the arrogance amongst its leaders, which you can see if you read either side of the chapter. So, if we are to all consider ourselves as builders of God's church, the challenge for us are these. Firstly, we need to be careful to be building on Christ. It is his enterprise. He is present in it by his Spirit. He cares about it deeply. Secondly, we need to be building using godly values and truths, things that will endure when Jesus returns. And we need to be building with humility and the right attitudes, guarding against divisions. I talked about the big picture of the temple. Let me just finish by saying how that story ends. Let me take you to the very last book of the Bible, to the book of Revelation, and one of the last visions that this writer, John, saw. In chapter 21, he writes, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. One day, there will no longer be a visible temple, because God's presence will be perfectly there, his people in perfect relationship with the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb." Amen.
Lord Jesus, you promised that you would build your church and that the gates of Hades would not overcome it. We thank you that you have built your church through the centuries and across the world, and that you continue to do so. Thank you that here in Selly Park and across the south of Birmingham, you have built us together to be a congregation of your church.
But Lord, these are difficult times. We lament the fact that we are restricted in how we meet together in your name. We are sad that we cannot serve our community in ways that we have done previously. We mourn the loneliness and isolation that this has imposed on some of our members of our congregation. Give us perseverance, Lord. Give us patience as we wait for the passing of COVID-19. Teach us and guide us in your ways through these times of difficulty. Keep our eyes on you.
Father, we ask for patience and perseverance too as we seek a new vicar. We pray that you would give us success as we seek good candidates for interview. We pray for someone who would be, like Paul, a wise builder. We pray that they would build your church in Selly Park only on Christ as our foundation and using materials that would stand the test of day of the Lord.
We pray too that you would unite us as a church and not allow division or worldly factions to creep into our fellowship.
Father God, we continue to pray for our country. In these difficult times, give wisdom to our Prime Minister and to all in government. Give them grace to draw people together around common goals. Help them to balance conflicting demands and wisely weigh conflicting advice. We pray that the needs of the most vulnerable in our society would be considered in government plans.
And Father, we continue to pray for members of our congregation who are facing the additional burden of ill health. We pray for those waiting for hospital appointments, those who will shortly be undergoing surgery, and those who are currently recovering from medical procedures. Grant each one healing, and may they know the peace that passes all understanding. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we come to the end of our time together, thank you for joining us. Thank you to all who have taken part in our service. And thank you to the team of people behind the scenes, enabling it all to happen. God bless us and keep us in the coming week. Let's close in prayer together. Glory to God, whose power at work among us can do infinitely more than all we can ask or conceive. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. for ever and ever. Amen.